I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Our Daily Journal is your daily dose of Constitution. You know, we do the research. We bring you the news the way it's supposed to be brought to you, with fact, not fake. With principle and not a political agenda. And there is so much going on today. It's really hard to nail down exactly what we're going to be talking about, but I'm sure we're going to be talking about this obstruction of justice. We're going to be talking about Trump, the genius, or otherwise. And we're going to also be showing you something, once again, that the mainstream media is not covering. Why? Why would the mainstream media be covering it? Because they don't want you to know. And this is so big and so important that that this is going to be an essential liberty lesson for us today. I have with me my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. And before we get into today's events, I want to talk to you about some really important things that we have coming up in the future. Really, really excited about what's going on. You know, we have a reception for Florida legislators coming up on Friday, September 21st, 2018, in Williston, Florida.
Cool.
I think that is super cool. It is put on by some new friends of ours called the Cavalry Group. Not Calvary, but Cavalry, like do-do-do-do. And Mindy Patterson is an amazing person. We interviewed Mindy on the Red Pill Expo interview tour. And so if you're not familiar, those of you who are listening to the Daily Journal and not familiar with our Red Pill Expo interviews that we did, I want you to be sure to go back and listen to the Red Pill Expo interviews. We had some really great, great people on there. You can go back to chrisannhall.com. Click on the Chris Ann Hall Radio Show and scroll through the podcasts and listen to that, and you'll find Mindy Patterson. The Cavalry Group is about protecting and defending animal enterprises. It's right. about property rights.
Yeah.
Right? So they are a legal group protecting and defending farmers and ranchers.
Property rights and economic freedom, really.
Right. From whom?
The so-called animal lovers and
the federal government, right?
Yeah.
So when the federal government teams up with the so-called animal lovers, who, by the way, had no problem with the federal government executing Clevin Bundy's cows and dumping them in mass graves, right? Don't club the baby seal, but you can execute the cattle. But here we have the Cavalry Group who would
In reality, both are anti-property rights.
Right, exactly.
Movements.
Right. The federal government and the animal rights groups are anti-property rights.
Exactly.
Right.
Because it's basically steal your property and get rid of your property rights under the guise of we care for the earth, we care for the animals.
Right.
But they're, when you see their inconsistency, you realize that's just kabuki theater.
So if you want to be a part of this amazing event, it's going to be at Two Tails Ranch in Williston, Florida. I'm going to be a keynote speaker. Trevor Loudon is going to be a keynote speaker there. And Alex Penalta, who is an American trial lawyer licensed to practice in Florida and Washington, D.C. He provides legal representation for matters pertaining to animal-related businesses and basically, you know, what the Cavalry Group does. He's there. He's one of their defense consultant attorneys. And so if you want to be a part of that, you can RSVP at Two Tails Ranch Reception. RSVPIFY.com. I'll put the link up on the show website so that you can find it. But if you are going to be in Williston, Florida, or you want to be a part of this, whether you are near, I mean, please, this is an event that everybody should be coming to. Yeah.
September 21st.
September 21st.
Which is a great day on the calendar.
It is a great day on the calendar.
Yeah.
JC loves that day. It's his birthday.
Yep.
It's a great 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my birthday is the 19th, our anniversary is the 20th, and your birthday is the 21st.
Yep.
We have our birthiversary coming up.
And then a month later, it'd be in Utah.
Yes, and almost that's the exactly other thing that I want to talk about. Yeah, it's almost exactly a month later, October 20th, we will be in St. George, Utah, and this is another amazing event. We're coming from one part of the U.S. to another part of the U.S., so you can't miss this. This is called Life, Liberty, and Property Conference. And I will be a speaker. Mark Herr will be a speaker. Not only that, we'll be screening the documentary of Lavoie, Dead Man Talking. And it begins at 12:30 p.m. with VIB ticket holders joining us for lunch at Chef Alfredo's in St. George, Utah. And then at 3 o'clock, the main event begins, screening the documentary of Lavoie, Dead Man Talking. And then Mark and I will be addressing farmers and ranchers and everybody who wants to come to learn about property rights.
Yep.
Not only that, but the solution to our problems,
yeah,
right?
And you get to hear from Lavoie Finnegan's wife, his widow, Jeanette.
Right.
She will be speaking.
And Mindy Patterson will be there from
she
the
will.
Cavalry Group, too. This is like a what is it, 1-2-3 punch knockout, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to have four, actually. I don't know how you do that in MMA because I'm an MMA person. But anyway, you get the documentary and Jeanette speaking about the documentary. Then you get Mark Herr talking about the state solutions. Then you get me teaching about federal property and the limits of federal property ownership and the solutions to these problems. And then you get the Cavalry Group coming in with the kick to the forehead. You step out, farmer and rancher, you do the right thing, and we will protect you.
So it's going to be good. October 20th, St. George, Utah.
October 20th, St. George, Utah. The website is propertyrightsconvention.com.
I'm sure the BLM just marked that on their calendar.
I hope they do, man.
And that's Bureau of Land Management, not Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Black Lives Matter cares about cows and horses and farmers
know.
And trees and ranchers and stuff. But you never know. Okay, so propertyrightsconvention.com. Look, we're giving you plenty of notice to plan your trip. This is something that we need to coalesce across the nation so we can teach people how to respect and maintain the property rights. You know, America was built on the premise of personal property rights.
And it's under assault, particularly out west. When
Absolutely.
You talk about the Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, federal government out there, and just all the land that the federal government owns, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. controls.
Well, but when you think about property rights and the federal government's intrusion, it's a national thing. You got civil asset forfeiture. You've got them throwing Amish farmers in jail for labels. I mean,
yeah.
There's just so many things that need to be... We need to have a basic understanding of what property ownership actually means again.
But the good thing is we've seen pushback
yes.
throughout the United States.
So... Life, Liberty, Property Conference. Find it at propertyrightsconvention.com, October 20th, 2018. So I told you in our opener that we have really huge news. We have a huge victory as far as property rights are concerned.
Yeah.
As far as state sovereignty, local government is concerned.
Pushing back.
That's amazing. In El Dorado County, are you ready for this? California.
Uh-huh.
Okay, El Dorado County, California, which is directly east of Sacramento. This is where the fires are taking place. The El Dorado County Sheriff is stripping the U.S. Forest Service of authority within his county. And I think that is just absolutely awesome. We have Sheriff D'Agnostini, who is taking, according, now this is what's amazing, this is what CBS says, taking the unusual step of pulling police powers from the federal agency because he has had received, quote, numerous complaints about these federal forestry service employees. They're just, according to the residents, they're absolutely burn happy. So they're going up and they're burning up private property under the guise of stopping these fires. So what they do is they do controlled burns to eliminate the fuel of the fire. But what they're doing is they're burning land that's not even in the path of the fire, that is not even going to actually affect the production of the fire. And the people are like, whoa, wait a minute. You got to stop doing this. And the sheriff says, you know what? They don't have jurisdiction here. They don't need to be in our stuff. So he wrote them a letter. And the letter, the sheriff informs the Federal Forestry Services that their officers will no longer be able to enforce California state law anywhere in his county. Isn't that, don't you think that's amazing?
Yeah.
I mean,
what he should do.
It's what he should, well, it should be done across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our Federal Forestry Service is, they're not attached to our land. They don't care anything about our property. They are not living here. They are not breathing here. They are not owning land here. And this is what the sheriff says. He says, I take the service that we provide to the citizens of El Dorado County and the visitors of El Dorado County very seriously, and the style and manner of service we provide. The U.S. Forest Service, after many attempts and given many opportunities, has failed to meet that standard.
Mm-hmm.
He's the elected constitutional representative of the people.
Right.
He is the protector of their property, of their rights, and of their liberty.
Well, and apparently a law professor out there even agrees with him.
Yes. So law professor John Myers says, looks to me as though the sheriff can do this. They don't have state powers in the first place. But essentially, the sheriff can deputize individuals to have authority in his or her jurisdiction. See, that's what we've been saying. The sheriff of El Dorado County is in agreement with the founders, with James Madison, with the Constitution, that the state powers are reserved to the states and the federal government has no authority over this. None, over their land and their jurisdiction. And I'm just so excited about this. It's exciting also to see a law professor say this. So CBS says, we asked law professor John Myers if the sheriff's action can, are you ready, supersede the feds. And he says, looks to me as though they can.
Yep.
You know, I just want to take that quote and rub it into the faces of all the law professors, the SPLC, all the pundits out there who kept saying, Chris Ann Hall, nobody agrees with Chris Ann Hall. No vetted professor agrees with Chris Ann Hall. Well, they're not supposed to be agreeing with me in the first place. They're supposed to be agreeing with the Constitution and the founders.
Yeah.
James Madison wrote in Federalist 39, the local or municipal authorities form distinct and independent portions of the supremacy, no more subject within their supreme spheres than to the general authority, then the general authority is subject to them within their own sphere. So what he's saying is, look, your local and municipal authorities are superior in their jurisdiction to the federal government. Your county commissioners can't go to Washington, D.C.
and make laws.
And make laws and tell them how to enforce their laws. The sheriff of El Dorado County can't go to Washington, D.C. and in federal territories and enforce the law. And what Madison is saying, neither can the feds come in your jurisdiction. He says, in this relation, the proposed government cannot be deemed a national one, since its jurisdiction extends to certain enumerated objects only and leaves to the several states a residuary and inviolable sovereignty over what? All other subjects. See, we don't have a national government. We have a federal government, which is meaning that the power, the majority of the power is left with the states, and the central government is specifically enumerated and limited in its power. But do we even understand the difference between national and federal anymore? Federal government, we call them the federal government, don't we? Federal government means your powers are limited and defined. And we have a sheriff who knows that. You know, we teach this course to deputies and peace officers across America.
Right. And I'm talk about state law enforcement powers. And
powers and federal powers. Federal the separation. Limit. The separation of powers.
I'm not sure if we taught these guys or not. This may have been one of the
We've taught that course up there.
Yeah, I'm not
I
sure.
I don't know if he was there or not, but we have taught that course in that area. And I know I've taught several times in Sacramento. As a matter of fact, I've taught the state sovereignty course several times in Sacramento, California.
Yeah, I do remember that.
So I don't know if the sheriff was there or not. Maybe somebody shared with the sheriff our sovereign duty book or the DVD that we have. But this sheriff.
Maybe it's a guy who takes his oath seriously.
Yeah.
And maybe understands it.
Let's just pray so. Either way, it doesn't really matter. He's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And this is why the media, the corporate media, doesn't want you to know this, because they don't want your sheriff to know this.
Right.
And the corporate media is completely, completely sold out. They've become courtiers of the federal government. They are no longer journalists for the preservation of the people's rights. They are courtiers to federal power.
What Mercedes Warren call them?
Political prostitutes. Yeah. Political prostitutes. And this is what we have now, and this is why the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal and shows like us are so very important, because your sheriff, you need to share this with your sheriff. You need, I'm going to post this article, this Sacramento CBSLocal.com article on the show website so that you can share this with them. Share this show with your sheriff so they can hear from, not from me, but from James Madison. He says in Federalist 51, a double security arises to the rights of the people. The different government will control each other, and at the same time that each will be controlled by itself. Your sheriff is supposed to control the federal government. Why? To the protection of the rights of the people. And that's the whole the purpose for the existence of separation of powers. Separation of powers has always been established to preserve the liberty of the people. And it only works when the separation stays distinct.
As there again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution, standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host JC Hall. Let me just tell you, if you are really interested, because this is the solution to our federal problem, if you want to know how to fix what's wrong with government in America, now I said that very generally because this is the problem that's in your state, your local, your municipal, your county, and in your federal government. If you want to fix the problem, you got to know the solution. And LibertyFirstUniversity.com can teach you that solution. We have courses that show the limited and defined nature of the federal government, not taught by Chris Ann Hall, but taught as if the founders themselves were teaching you. Please, this is so important to raise up a new generation and to educate this generation on the proper separation of power between the state and federal governments. That's LibertyFirstUniversity.com. Now, JC and I have a friend. His name is Adrian Wiley. And Adrian put a really good post up on Facebook the other day.
Yes, Adrian's pretty funny.
He's a funny guy. He's libertarian.
Yeah.
A funny libertarian.
Yeah, sure.
And Adrian says, whether you think Trump is a moron or a genius, you're probably right.
Yeah, so I like how he encapsulates the enigma that is Donald Trump to so many people.
Because
right. it's always a back and forth. And you look at some of the things he's done and some of the things he's, you know, because of his actions, some of the things that have been accomplished that are amazing.
Is he a genius or a lucky idiot?
Yeah, because you look at like some of the tariff thing and mm-hmm. the different way he negotiates, and people are going, oh, you're going crazy and don't do this, and I can't believe he's doing this, and it's we've never seen this before. This is a disaster, and then it works. You know, he achieves success, and it makes people crazy. And then you see some of the stuff he tweets, and even supporters of Trump are like, right. I'm not so sure I would have said it like that. he really, and I believe that's one thing why people hate him so much, because he's not this stereotypical political cookie cutout guy. He's just a regular guy. I mean, regular, he's a billionaire, but you know, he just acts like a regular person.
Right.
You know what I mean? With all a regular person's ups and downs, sometimes you're mad, sometimes you're happy, sometimes you fly off the handle too fast, sometimes you think. And so he's just that guy.
And so Adrian continues in his post and he says, Trump just tentatively penned a bilateral zero tariff trade deal with the European Union, including them buying more U.S. natural gas, which undercuts Russia. It's arguably one of the best trade deals the U.S. has pulled off in some time. In addition, well, let's just mark, too, that Adrian is not a sycophant.
No.
He is no way a Trump trainer.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. But he says, in addition to this win, he's improved relations with some of our biggest adversaries. Russia obviously likes us better, with or without golden showers and rigged elections. He went from the brink of war to being besties with Kim Jong-un in the blink of an eye. We're not bombing two continents like we had been for 16 years. And so far in 2018, only 6 U.S. service members have been killed in combat. Maybe in 2019, that number will be 0. You know, that just makes me pause for a second, because I remember when George Bush was president, every news channel had this memorial to every soldier that was being killed. And then when Obama became president, the same wars were going
instantly.
There was nothing.
Yeah, instantly.
And now
Obama was, and remember, President Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize.
Peace Prize.
And then proceeded to enter us into, I think, 6 more conflicts.
Right. Peace is war. Isn't that what Orwell said?
I guess.
Yeah. So he said, so now there's not any recognition that in 2018, only 6 U.S. service members have been killed in combat.
Yeah.
He says, Adrian says, those are pretty impressive accomplishments. From a foreign policy perspective, I like what I see so far. But then I hear him speak, or I read his latest tweet, and immediately facepalm. All empirical evidence points to the fact that he is definitely not the sharpest light bulb in the ocean. Love that ethic. There are also plenty of signs to suggest that he has pathological personality disorders bordering on debilitating. So, Adrian says, how is it that a guy who rants and raves like a semi-literate paranoid narcissist can also be a master of international diplomacy? He is the human manifestation of a non sequitur. He finishes by saying, is this whole public persona an act to keep his opponents off guard? Or is this guy just an idiot savant when it comes to wheeling and dealing? It seems he's either a very lucky moron or a very deceptive genius. But I think maybe it's both.
Yeah.
But doesn't that just encapsulate the discussion that goes on
that
with that, with
like
the average
never
person?
Never seen anything like this guy.
Never seen anything like this guy.
Never had a president like this. You've never seen a politician like this,
no.
Period, at any level. And it's like all of these things. And, I mean, you can legitimately look at some of the stuff he says and how he says it and say, yeah, I don't think I would have said it that way, or I don't think that's probably not the best way to do that.
Even
you probably
people who would consider themselves
like
Trump lovers say
but,
that.
But in the end, somehow
it works out.
It works.
I mean, it doesn't just work, but it works well.
So you have heard a lot of people. It's funny that he says in there, "Is this something just to keep his opponents off guard?" You hear Trump supporters saying, "You just don't get it. He's doing this. It's just a thing that he does because." You know, but he's six steps ahead of you, and he's got this planned out, and he knows where he's going. And I think in a big sense, I do think he thinks like that. He has targets on the horizon.
Well, he's
and he knows what he's after.
He's a professional negotiator, and as a professional,
he is definitely an amazing negotiator.
Yeah, with a brain like that, though, you have to play chess in your mind.
Yeah,
and when you have chess in a negotiation in your mind, you are six moves ahead.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's true. I don't think anybody can disagree that he's narcissistic. I mean, he absolutely
right.
is narcissistic.
Sure. He loves Trump.
He loves Trump. He thinks Trump is... Trump loves Trump. There ain't no doubt about it. Trump loves Trump. But you got to give the guy props for being successful at what he does.
Right.
And what's amazing is that even... We were talking about this the other day in the car. We have the most amazing radio shows that happen in the car. we were talking about this in the car, and we said, you know, even when he apparently loses, it's not a loss. It's a learning experience.
Yeah.
And I tell people that all the time because I'm always like, don't ever shy away from a conversation with someone who disagrees with you. Because even though you may not feel like you walked away triumphant in that conversation, you walk away with an understanding of, I need to know that better.
Yeah.
I need to understand this better. I need to be able to articulate that better. Iron sharpens iron. And I think that what we see here, and will the question ever be answered?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Still,
is
I don't
he
know
lucky
how the guy,
or is he genius?
I don't know how the guy does some of the stuff that ends up being a success. It's
how
really
how does he get away with that?
Astounding.
Kind of stuff, yeah.
Now, yeah. I mean, I could make a small list of things I don't agree with. I don't like, you know, different things. Of course, a lot of them are people in his administration, like
right.
Sessions, not necessarily Trump directly. Some of the things that I have problems with.
Trump doesn't like Sessions either, so
yeah, clearly. But you know, and it's not like it, you know, there's been character issues with this guy and things, but
well, that comes with being narcissistic, I think.
Yeah.
So
and being human, I mean, he's just a guy, you know,
right?
As far as everything you look at some of these other politicians, the thing is, they've some of the same accusations and the same negatives they would say about Trump. They're in the same, they have those same problems, but they're political savvy and, you know, they're political prostitutes and they know, they cover all this stuff up. They know how to conceal. They know how to lie and distract. And
the Clintons are neither lucky nor genius, so they just murder people.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
You could do it that way. Yeah, you could just do it that way.
I'm either lucky or I'm a genius or I'm
or I'm gonna kill you.
Sociopath.
I know a guy. I got a guy.
I got a guy.
Yeah. You can do it that way, right?
But Trump is, Trump has tweeted out that the investigation, the Mueller investigation needs to be stopped.
Yeah.
That Sessions needs to do something about this.
Yeah, and so the Dems and Libs are really freaking out, and they're bringing up this obstruction thing again because he tweets something that's obstruction, and now it's he needs to do this interview with Mueller. He needs to go in and answer Mueller's questions.
You know, the problem with this accusation of obstruction is sort of twofold. Okay, so if Sessions actually viewed Trump as his boss,
right?
If Sessions actually viewed Trump as his boss, then there may be a legitimate claim.
If he stopped it and said, that's why I did it.
Right. But Session clearly does not see Trump as his boss.
Right.
Trump, he knows Trump did not put him there. And if anybody thinks that Trump put Sessions in office, you are just naive as the day is long. And we have been saying since the get-go that Sessions was not a Trump
plant.
Pick.
He's right? a plant. He's an infiltrator.
Plant.
He's a swamp creature.
So
Sessions, always has been.
Sessions is doing exactly what Sessions' boss is telling him to do, and that boss is not Trump.
There you go.
So this obstruction thing, here's the thing. They would have to be able to prove that Sessions responded to this tweet in order for it to be obstruction. And Sessions has never responded to anything that Trump has ever said, much less tweeted. Right? So the obstruction falls away on the plain basis of evidence. It's not just simply, did Trump tweet this?
Yeah.
Okay. Obstruction is not merely the words. Mm-hmm. Obstruction must create an effect.
Yeah.
And that and now here's the thing. If Sessions' bosses were really, really smart, which obviously they are not, if they really wanted to go forward with this obstruction thing, they would have Sessions then come in and stop it.
Yeah.
Because then the act of obstruction is complete, right? So there's no intimidation here. They can't prove intimidation because Sessions has never, ever been intimidated by Trump. There's never any indication there'll be no proof that he was. So this whole thing is just a trap. Tired of the way that things have been.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Don't forget, you can listen to the Daily Journal at chrisannhall.com. You can listen on iTunes, Google Music Play, Spotify, FM.com. You can download our mobile app at chrisannhall.com and have it on your phone every time we publish. Boom, bam. What is that? Bada boom, bada bing. There it is, right? Now, I want to talk about this in this last segment because this is a trap.
Well, so do you, as an attorney, you advise the president testify or don't testify?
Well, that's the point. I advise him don't testify. Do not testify because here's the thing. It is a trap.
Yeah.
Because number one, politics don't operate on proof. They operate on opinion
and
conjecture. Subjection. There's no objective proof here.
Well,
and so
you think
basically,
they see how bombastic he is.
Oh yeah.
And so let's just get him in a room, get him talking. So it's a whole excuse just to get material to say he lied and get somebody to say something
absolutely.
Different.
But see, it doesn't even matter for him to be bombastic or to be the Trump that we know with an unhinged jaw.
Right.
Okay.
So
even if he spoke the truth, if he was logical, if he was factual and calm in his delivery, they would find a air quote witness to come forward to dispute whatever it was he said.
That's not what he told me.
That's not what he told me. And then because we don't operate on proper due process in these investigatory hearings, boom, contempt. Right, that's all they need. But remember, Clinton was found in contempt, but was never impeached.
Yeah,
and
Eric Holder
was found in contempt, but was never impeached. I do not believe that fate would come about to Donald
Trump.
Okay,
so do you think So then as the strategy, we get him in here in the interview. We just get him talking, and we get material. And then we get somebody to contradict that.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the midterms. So this is motivation for the midterms. Because mm-hmm. once again, they don't have really a message. So mm-hmm. get the Democrats out, win back the Congress, and then mm-hmm. we can impeach this guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they may strategy? Have enough Republicans to impeach him now.
Well, that's true because you have the anti-Trumpers, so they yeah. wouldn't need a lot of Democrats. So
right.
if they could get the House.
Now, I heard a pundit on the radio today say, well, they could force Trump to under subpoena to testify. No, they can't, because this investigation is pointed at Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have to testify against himself.
Right.
You cannot compel a defendant to take the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do that. It is right to say, and he doesn't even have to invoke his right to remain silent.
Right.
Due process says that it is up to the accused to choose to take the bench or not.
Okay.
Nobody can compel someone accused to testify. So the idea that Congress can compel Trump by subpoena to testify is completely erroneous. Completely erroneous, because he is the accused in this.
Yeah.
They're trying to find, and anybody who says he is not the accused in this doesn't understand what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. This is about him. It's all about him. And you cannot force an accused to take the bench. And so, it's this lack of understanding of due process, this lack of understanding of the Constitution, it's a lack of understanding on how investigations are supposed to work that drives a false narrative to this whole Mueller thing.
Well, how do you think, looking at how the Paul Manafort trial, does that mm-hmm. add more?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, does that make it even less credible when you see what they're doing there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because nothing about Russia, right?
No.
There's nothing in that trial about Russia.
The whole Mueller investigation is about Russian collusion. And every single indictment has nothing to do with Russian collusion.
Yeah. And now even the judge was chastising mm-hmm. the prosecutors in the Manafort case. Like, stop talking about how much his jacket costs and how much this costs. It's not a crime to be wealthy.
Right. It's not a crime to be bad,
I mean,
poorly dressed
out
either.
Of control.
So we were talking about, you're a wealthy guy. You got to have a better jacket than that,
yeah.
right? So I'm just saying. But look, we've got to get educated here. And the media and the journalists are not doing it. The pundits aren't doing it. And I think it's intentional. It's intentional to keep the people deceived, distracted, and divided. And that's why we're doing what we do to bring back the narrative. Share this show and all the other Daily Journal shows. God bless. See you tomorrow.
In sharing the blessings I received, let me know.